Thank you.
I've just arrived at Mandy McCracken's house in Kilmore in regional Victoria, where she lives with her husband Rod and their three daughters.
And this is Isabel and Samantha.
Hi.
Hi.
The whole house smells of freshly baked scones that Mandy's made for our chat.
Can somebody get the jam out of the fridge?
Mandy's a ball of energy. She's got curly red hair and darts around the kitchen using prosthetic legs.
Now we have strawberry jam, and strawberry jam.
This is French strawberry jam.
You're not gluten-free or anything, are you?
No.
5 years ago, Mandy was a stay-at-home mum, busy looking after her daughters, who were all under the age of 10. But everything changed when Mandy got a life-threatening infection.
Back in 2013, I got a blood infection that ended up giving me sepsis. Sepsis is when your body starts attacking itself because you've got an infection on board and it just goes haywire. I'm one of the lucky ones because I survived it, but I woke up from a coma and I had black hands and feet. 10 months later, I came out of hospital as a quadruple amputee.
When Mandy was in hospital fighting for her life, being a mother had to take a back seat.
I just wasn't there. I really wasn't there. Like, I wasn't there in spirit as well, because I was sort of dealing with my own stuff going on. I didn't have that mental space to be a parent. I had to actually got reminded by the nurses when I was in a hospital, you need to call your children and say goodnight to them. It's like, oh, do I? And the nurse said, yep, I'm going to bring the phone to you every night and you're going to ring up and you're going to say goodnight to your kids. Oh, okay, all right. I didn't realise that I'd forgotten that. Yeah, I was too busy trying to be alive.
Can you tell me about your children's experience of that time?
Oh, the kids were probably pulled through the ringer, actually, with it all, because when I first went into hospital, they didn't think I was going to come out the other end. So my husband, Rod, got the kids in, my three daughters. At the time, they were 9, 7, and 4, and they all came in to say goodbye to me. I was in a coma. I think without it being said, they all sort of knew that that's what they were there for. Rod was great. He told the kids on their level, language that they could deal with, exactly what was happening. And he didn't really hide anything from them. And it was actually probably a really big step in the whole recovery process for them, because they knew exactly what was happening. Nobody was hiding anything from them. They didn't have to sort of listen, you know, through doorways to hear conversations adults were having.
When Mandy finally got out of hospital, she had a lot to get used to. New prosthetic arms and legs, and she felt her role in the family had changed too.
You know, I was a stay-at-home mum. And so my job was to be mother, counsellor, teacher, you know, help the kids with homework. I'd keep the house going. You know, I did everything. And I came home after being in hospital for almost a year and I lost all of that. I wasn't cooking. I wasn't helping the kids with homework because my husband had stepped in to do it. And I really had to sort of go, where do I fit now? What's my job now? And still, I'm really struggling with that. Like 5 years later, I find weekends really hard because I just don't quite know what to do with myself. You know, the kids are home and if I'm home and normally I'd be out in the garden or doing something, you know, active, and now I'm not quite sure what I'm meant to do. My kids now don't look for me. They look for my husband for help. They'll go, Dad, Dad, and it's never Mum, it's always Dad. And it's like, hello, I'm here. You know, my husband will be busy doing something, like plaiting some kid's hair or something, and a call will come from the other side of the house, Dad. I'm like, I'm sitting right next to you. Yeah, but I need Dad. He can do it. I'm like, well, what is it? You know, 2 times 2. Oh, come on. I know the answer to that. You just need to let me answer it. So, yeah, that's been really challenging. I'm really good at giving hugs. You know, Dad can't give as good a hug as me, so I make sure that my hugs are the best hugs. And although I'm not physically capable of doing a whole heap of stuff, I make sure that I'm really good at some things. And, you know, being a mum, being that gentle, warm, soft place for them to land.
But for Mandy, adapting to life with a disability can make some days harder than others.
I have often had tantrums like a four-year-old, and I will kick and scream until my arms literally fly off. Yeah, they're hard days. And, you know, tears and gritted teeth and the option of walking out on it and leaving it all behind has actually been something that I've tossed through my head in whatever form that looks like. Yeah. So it's not all peachy, you know. There's a lot of time that I laugh and giggle about the situation, but a lot of it's really hard. Yeah, so I need to acknowledge that, like, occasionally it can get so, so difficult. And not just for me, especially for my husband as well.
But Mandy has found purpose. She's as busy as she's ever been, volunteering, travelling around Australia to help other quad amputees adjust to their new lives and giving talks at schools.
No, not yet. So, yes, I'm going into Tessa's class tomorrow, grade 3 and 4, and they're doing disability. And what are you talking about?
Disability.
Yeah, but
social justice, somebody else's shoes, and don't judge.
Social justice, somebody else's.
Mandy began talking at schools when her daughters started being teased about their mum's prosthetic limbs.
Somebody said to my youngest, your mum's a robot, because I've got robot hands, you know, these buzzy, buzzy hands. No, your mum's a robot. And she burst into tears, came home that night. Oh, mum, everybody thinks you're weird. And I'm like, well, you've got a mum who's half robot, half pirate. Like, who else has got a mum like that? When I first turned up to the kids' school after this happened, I was in a wheelchair and I had no legs and I had no hands. And, you know, that's an incredible thing to see for a young kid. So, yeah, I had a heap of kids that used to literally hide behind their mum's legs and they'd point and stare and squeal. And I remember that day, I was actually having a bad day that day, and I thought, I can't deal with this every day, turning up to school and having these kids hide from me. So I immediately went into the classroom and said, right, I'm coming in, I'm going into class, this is happening, can you please organise all the kids in that year level, and I'm going to do a show and tell, and my daughter's going to pull my arm off and pass it around the room. And it was show and tell, every question under the sun. And she stood there in prep, she was in prep, and very proudly said, this is my mum, and she's like robot hands and pirate legs. And ever since then, the kids actually now see me as a person. Anyone who's got a disability is so capable. Like, they're probably more capable than an able-bodied person because they're dealing with all this other layer and layer of stuff going on. You know, to think that somebody with a disability should only be doing a little menial task kind of job. No, go and put them front and centre of politics and CEOs and that sort of stuff because they are so capable. Yeah, don't ever say that I can't do something just because I haven't got hands and feet.